The presidential election in November was nothing short of historical. Americans went to the polls and let their voices be heard, overwhelmingly electing Donald Trump as our 47th president. You can hear his inauguration on AFR beginning at 11 a.m. Central, January 20th. So if you're not able to watch, you don't have to miss out. And make sure you tell your friends and family so they don't miss the live feed of Donald Trump's inauguration ceremony, January 20th, starting at 11 a.m. Central on AFR.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Today is January 20th. It's Inauguration Day and Donald Trump is set to be inaugurated as the 47th President of the United States. He holds the position of 45th president and then 47th president. I woke up and I was doing some research and the song came on that is attached to Trump and this new presidency. It's just a fun song. I had to play a little bit of it. There's no need to be unhappy. Well, many people are excited today because we prayed for the country to turn to the right, and the country made a choice to do that in electing Donald Trump in an overwhelming election. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 4 says, "The king gives stability to the land by justice, but a man who takes bribes overthrows it." And I think that's for many, many Christians. That's what we said. We have a choice here between somebody who is going to stand for justice, law and order, and somebody who is not. And the choice was very clear. Although we as Christians don't turn a blind eye to the shortcomings of Donald Trump, we looked at the choice before us and we said there's no debate here. Donald Trump is the candidate that Christians should choose. He's the righteous candidate, the moral candidate, given the choice that we had before us. Now, to help me as we discuss this historic day is my good friend, Dr. Rick Scarborough, president of Recover America, Christian political advocate, author, and evangelist, and all-around good guy. Rick, welcome to the program.
Well, I need you as my PR guy. Thank you, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Okay, so I had asked you over the weekend, Rick, if you were planning to go to the inauguration, and you said, been there, done that.
I made one when President Bush was inaugurated, nearly froze to death, and then later regretted having gone, so I'm watching this on TV by my heater.
Well, what are your thoughts going into this, Rick? Because you were very instrumental. You did your part as you had a lot of meetings with different ones and trying to rally the pastors to say, hey, we need to get involved. We can't let the government and America just go down the tubes on our watch. We have to do our part. So what are your thoughts going into today?
Well, nothing but gratitude to Almighty God, because we were at death's door as a nation. I believe if Kamala Harris had been elected, which would have been a third term of, or actually a fourth term of Barack Obama, the country wouldn't have survived it. The direction that Biden took us into during his 3 years of office were just tragic in every category that you could think of. And the proof of that is all these pardons he's handing down, including preemptive pardons, which reflect the fact that he believes that the General Milley, who is the Joint Chief of Staff for the military, was breaking the law. What he did for Fauci is proof that he knew that what he was doing was breaking the law. I mean, we have all the proof we need that God intervened and saved our nation as a result of millions of Christians not only praying but also voting.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, Rick, we were talking about this a little bit before the program, that as Christians, we don't just, you know, check all our critiques at the door and say, hey, anything Trump does is just great. We're never going to speak, you know, negatively about anything. And if he makes a bad decision, we're just going to either turn a blind eye or support it somehow. But I know you don't go into it like that. I definitely don't. Trump is a flawed man, a flawed candidate, and he's not going to do everything that we would like him to do as believers. But as I said earlier, I mean, you can't go with Kamala Harris because that destroys the country irreparably.
Correct. And you know, all of us as men of God especially, and I know a lot of pastors listen to your program because they like to hear your assessment, the fact that you are very much involved in monitoring the politics of our country and preaching truth from God's Word. Many pastors need to be reminded that with age comes experience, and there's no other way to get it. And my own experience was a full-throated endorsement of Jimmy Carter when I was a 24-year-old evangelist, because he wrote a book entitled Born Again, because he was a Southern Baptist peanut farmer who taught a Sunday school class. And on the basis of that, I assessed that he would be the greatest president America would ever see. And his failures and incompetency was only surpassed by our most recent edition of that office in Joe Biden. In fact, Jimmy Carter died a satisfied man because he finally had been trumped. Pardon the use of the word, but he'd finally been beaten in incompetency by Joe Biden, who was a failure at every single juncture of his presidency.
Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point. I had Phil Cook on the program last week, Rick, and we were talking about positions of leadership. And, you know, this is true for so many pastors. Just because you're a godly guy doesn't mean you're going to be a great leader. I have a friend of mine who said, you know, when conflict and confrontation came, he ran the other way. And I thought to myself, you can't lead if you're not willing to confront. As you think about Jimmy Carter, why do you think he was such a failure as a president?
In the first place, he surrounded himself by people who reflected his thoughts. He was one of the smartest presidents that we've ever elected. He was a brilliant man in his own right, but he embraced liberal ideology, and that liberal ideology then reflected itself in the policies. He was the most pro-abortion president we'd had until that time. He weakened America at every juncture, and our foreign adversaries sensed the weakness, and they began moving in. The Shah of Iran had been the friend of the United States and the Middle East for decades, and he sat back and watched the man overthrown and replaced by an Ayatollah that then caused complete upheaval throughout the Middle East, could have led to the Third World War, just like Joe Biden in his presidency led us to the threshold of a Third World War, and one that I pray Trump has the time and the surrounding of men to prevent that from happening. He's very brashly at times made me a little bit wary, bragging that he's going to change the world. He's going to stop all of the progression of this march toward nuclear holocaust. And I would sure feel more comfortable if with a little humility he said, with God's help, I'm going to do everything in my power to avert the crisis we're facing. But the brashness of Trump is, in some ways, it makes him a great president. In some ways, it makes him a potential failing president, because God will share his glory with no man, as you know. And he reads the Psalms and the Proverbs and has much to say about arrogance and pride. And that is a weakness of our newly elected president, whom I love and pray for and worked hard to get elected, but I recognize that that's a flaw that that could be fatal.
Yeah, good point. You know, God's opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And in leadership,
correct,
we need to be humble. I think being forceful is a good thing. It just, as I said, that one pastor friend of mine, I run away from confrontation. You have to stand up to, as Ronald Reagan did, you stand up to an evil empire. You don't back down. And you stand up to bullies. You don't back down, because bullies only know one thing, and that is strength. And they back down if you stand up to them. Well, I want to play this clip, Rick, from John Voight. He was there last night speaking at the big Trump rally. This is what he had to say.
What an honor it is for me to be up here in front of you great men and women who've all come here to celebrate the greatest win of all time. The greatest win of all time, the victory we were all fighting for to save our country, our democracy. And I'm so grateful that I'm able to say that Donald J. Trump is the 47th President of the United States of America. And now he will make America thrive again. He will make America great again, safe again. And we, the people, will honor our flag again.
Well, he said some big statements there, actor John Voight, who's very outspoken. The greatest win of all time. Rick, do you agree with that?
Well, I struggle a little bit. There have been, our history is replete with some great comebacks. And the greatest of all time, the only way you can measure that is look back 4 years from now. And then that judgment will be made by the true historians. So I hedge that bet just a little bit.
Right. It's obviously
among the greatest.
Yes, among the greatest. It's very historic. You don't normally have a guy. I don't think anybody has been demonized and vilified to the level that Donald Trump has, even to the point of trying to assassinate him on more than one occasion. I've said before, he's the Energizer Bunny. He's the Timex watch. He takes a licking and keeps on ticking. He is a role model for determination and grit. And to keep coming. I don't know very many people who could have done what he did.
No, I agree with that. Nor would have wanted to. This is a billionaire. He could have played golf for the rest of his life and enjoyed his family and not put himself in harm's way. There's no question about the depth of the love of Donald Trump for the United States of America.
Amen to that. Now, John Voight said that this election and Trump getting back in office saved our democracy. All we heard from Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey and J-Lo and whoever else they paraded out there, that Donald Trump was a threat to our democracy, Joe Biden a threat to our democracy. But really, the reverse is true. He voting for him was going to save our democracy, was it not?
That's correct. Although I would like to see our people become educated to understand that we are a republic and not a democracy.
Right, right.
Basically, in its truest nature, mob rule. And we just went through that. I hope he does kill that part of it, and we get back to being a nation ruled by laws where every man is equal. when they stand before Lady Justice, she has a blindfold on, she holds the scales, and our founders recognized the Proverbs, which teach that one man always seems right to hear the other man. And then you put it in the weights, and whichever side tips the scale is the side of justice. We've got to get back to that, as you know, Pastor Shreve. We've got to get back to that.
We sure do. Well, I'm talking to Dr. Rick Scarborough, president of Recover America, Christian political advocate, evangelist, author, and somebody that I respect greatly. And he works tirelessly to get Christians and pastors especially involved in voting and in the process so that we can have godly, God-fearing candidates for office. And today is a historic day as Donald Trump is sworn in as the 47th President of the United States of America at 11 o'clock Central Time. And we want to be praying for him as his presidency begins. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back after the break.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend, Dr. Rick Scarborough, president of Recover America. We're talking about what really everybody's talking about today, and that is the inauguration that takes place at 11 o'clock Central Time in Washington, D.C., as President Donald Trump comes back to the White House and takes control once again. And Joe Biden, his last days, Rick, how would you describe those?
Insanely evil. Listen to this quote that he made this morning. Our nation relies on dedicated, selfless public servants every day, Biden said in a statement. They are the lifeblood of our democracy. Yet alarmingly, public servants have been subjected to ongoing threats and intimidation for faithfully discharging their duties. End of quote. Did any man ever perpetrate such behavior in the history of our country to surpass Joe Biden? And yet, on the last day of office, he's literally reading his own judgment. Mm-hmm. Because that's exactly what he did with Trump and others that tried to serve our country faithfully. He went after him and he literally extracted their wealth by forcing them to fight a government with endless wealth because they print the money they spend. All these lawyers stacking up against some innocent person with a modicum of finance, and yet they have to fund their own legal defense. And it's just an amazing statement going out, and I believe he'll answer to God for it.
Well, and you know, that's what came to mind, Rick, when I saw the newest pardons for Dr. Fauci and others, yes. Liz Cheney and people like that. It's like, you know, you never get away with sin, and you never get away with evil. You never get away with lying, because one day we have to stand before God. Now, Jesus will pardon anyone who comes to him in repentance and faith. But if you think you can, you know, pardon yourself before the Lord, you're woefully mistaken. It's just, I think it's hard for many God-fearing Americans to stomach what we see, you know, the Hunter Biden pardon. How does somebody so guilty get away with, you know, such horrible crimes? And Joe Biden himself, I'm surprised he didn't pardon himself.
Well, he's about to pardon his brother, I predict, before he leaves that office. His own brother could be facing multiple charges of money laundering, backroom deals, profiting off the president's name, and I think he'll finally add him to the list before he leaves office.
Well, that's, you know, as I think about Proverbs 29:4, began the program with that verse, the king gives stability to the land by justice, but a man who takes bribes overthrows it. And I think that's one thing that we would agree on. Donald Trump has a moral compass when it comes to law and order. He may not when it comes to sexual immorality, but he does with law and order, and he will bring justice back to the land. It's very hard for people to live in a land where Lady Justice has the blindfold taken away.
You know, there's also a proverb that is indicting to Joe Biden. When you recognize how much of the private life was revealed in the laptop that 58 of our top law enforcement agencies across our leaders, I should say, of agencies across the country said was Russian disinformation. turned out to be completely true, is we now have transcripts of the laptop. But it says this: if I live a blameless life in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, my children will be blessed. Well, it's pretty clear that Joe Biden's children are not being blessed.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you know, it's sad. He's a sad individual in my mind. And you know, so what? You attained the office of the presidency of the United States, and it's very debatable in my mind whether that was legit or not. But so you get there, you are mentally unfit, if not morally unfit, to hold the office. And your whole life becomes almost like a joke, but it's a joke that affects lots of lives. And, you know, as they're experiencing in California, bad leaders hurt people. They hurt the masses because leadership matters.
And not only in our country, but around the world. I mean, people have been impacted by the policies of Joe Biden around the world to their detriment.
Well, Rick, I know you would agree with this. I would assume so. But it's no big surprise that Hamas came to the negotiating table when they knew Trump was coming into office. I think things would have been quite different had Kamala Harris won.
The parallels between Jimmy Carter and his and Ronald Reagan and Joe Biden and Donald Trump are just incredibly consistent, because the very same thing happened whenever Reagan came into office. He threatened the Ayatollah with retribution if those hostages who'd been enslaved for over 400 days weren't freed. They were freed on the day that he took the oath of office, and just days before, or just 2 days before President Trump took office, after he said, if you don't release the hostages, they'll be hell to pay, suddenly these folks got religion, started releasing hostages.
Yeah, they did. They did. Well, you know, as I said, bullies only understand one thing, and that is force. And I think we can say this with Islamic countries. They only understand one thing. Islam is smash mouth religion. It's
right.
Knuckle under or will kill you. And so all they understand is when you come at them with force, and then they if they don't have the numbers and they don't have the firepower, they back off.
Well, and Israel, God has his hand on that nation. But the technology that they have developed, where they can literally blow up somebody with a cell phone, would put the fear of God in all of the leadership of Hamas, especially when they're backed by the strongest nation on the face of the earth, the United States of America. What a team they make.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know that I had Mike Huckabee on the program last week, Rick, a friend of yours, and he said, you know, the people in Israel are very excited that Donald Trump is the president, because Israelis know that they have a friend in Donald Trump, and so that makes a huge difference for their country. I did ask him this. We were talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, and I said, how is he perceived in Israel? And Mike told me, he said that Netanyahu is much like Trump in Israel. He's not a neutral kind of person. You either love him or you hate him type thing. Have you had any dealings with him?
I have not. I would sure love to, but he's one of the most respected men in the world in my book. He is a strong leader. He's decisive. He never equivocates, and you never have to wonder where he stands. And I love that about a leader.
Yes, me too. Okay, so Rick, let's talk about the program for today, because I send it to you. And on the program, you have Reverend Franklin Graham. He's giving the invocation, along with Timothy Michael, Cardinal Dolan, Archbishop of New York. His title is His Eminence, Timothy Michael, Cardinal Dolan. I guess, I don't know, that's his full name, I don't know. Anyway, Reverend Franklin Graham, and then at the benediction, you have Rabbi Ari Berman, and then Imam Husham Al-Husani. What do you make of that? You know, I mean, I can we worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Jews don't know the Messiah, but we worship the same God. We don't worship the same God as the Muslims. How do you reconcile that in your mind?
That is the side of Trump that's perplexing to me. Now, I believe that when he, and you said this earlier, his near-death experience has brought him closer to God than he's ever been. And whereas when he was inaugurated, or the inauguration aftermath of the last Trump presidency, he was he tried to bring peace and healing. He took a Bible and held it up upside down and received all kinds of woe as a result of that. It was a mere accident. But he doesn't show the sound judgment that I would like to see coming from this man. Why a Muslim leader who has called for jihad, and by jihad, they mean not only the death of Israel, they mean the death of the great Satan, America. And why he would have someone like that on the program defies explanation. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's just simply trying to reach out to all Americans, yeah. But there are some we don't reach out to. There's some that we need to make clear where we stand. I think that was a mistaken judgment. I think it was some poor counsel coming either from his family or from his top advisors. But I think that's unfortunate, just to be gut-level honest.
Yes, I agree. And as I've stated before, and you and I've talked about this, you know, Donald Trump, I don't have any grand illusions that he's this godly man who seeks the Lord. I think he's very open. He seems open. He likes Christians. He likes to surround himself with Christians. I think he makes good selections, not for the benediction prayer person, but I like his selections for his cabinet. And, you know, Pete Hegseth makes no bones about his Christian faith, as do right. others. Obviously, Mike Huckabee is a sold-out Christian. So we have the good things, and then we have the not-so-good things. That's true for all of us, but you get more scrutiny when you're the president of the United States.
Well, let me just make this appeal to your audience, which is a growing audience, and I commend you for that. But how about everybody on AFA Network right now listening to my voice, send a quick email off to President Trump and appeal for Jeff Shreve to give the benediction. You reckon that would have some pull?
Yes, a lot of pull. A lot of pull. Hey, Rick, you'll get a kick out of this. So when Mike was on the program Tuesday, I asked him how it came about that, you know, I said, did one of Trump's staff members call you? How does this work? And he said, well, I was sitting at my desk early Tuesday morning working, and a call came on my cell phone that was, you know, came up unknown. He said, normally I don't answer that because it's going to be a solicitor or whatever. It's not somebody in my contacts. But he said, I felt a nudging from the Holy Spirit to answer it. And he said, when I did, it was Donald Trump. And he offered me that position. He said, I wouldn't have taken any other wow. position had it not, you know, except the ambassador position for Israel, because his love for Israel. So kind of a neat little story there.
Wonderful. And you talk about a cut and pay now. He's going to take it. That ambassadorship won't pay near what he was being paid for all of his commercial activities. But it just illustrates what I know about Mike Huckabee. In my second trip through Southwestern, I'm a few years older than he is, I met Mike Huckabee for the first time. There was not a more charming, kind, godly man on campus, and I was attracted to him because he was working for James Robinson, who was probably the most, second to Billy Graham, the most well-known evangelist in the world. And that attracted me to Mike because I knew he was a soul winner. Not everybody in seminary was. And so we developed a friendship that's lasted a lifetime. I've preached revivals in the churches that he pastored. I've been with him on his television program. He's just a great, godly man. And now God's elevated him to a unique role in world history. We don't know what this will be, the generation that sees Jesus come. And I can't think of a better place to go to heaven from than Israel.
Yeah. Rick, from your perspective, what kind of influence or and power does an ambassador to a nation like Israel have?
That's way above my pay scale. I'm not knowledgeable about that. I ought to be, but I'm not. But my assumption is it's primarily in terms of influence. And when they want to know the mind of the president, they call the ambassador who has direct access to the president on matters of high priority. So I think that's the role. He literally speaks for the president, but not without first hearing from the president.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know he's getting ready to hopefully be confirmed soon, and then move. He and Janet are going to move to Jerusalem, and take up his duties there. But we wish him all the best and pray for him and pray for Donald Trump. You know, that's one thing, Rick, that sometimes we think the battle's over because we were praying for the election, and now the election is done, and now he's going to be inaugurated and let the good times roll. But the work is just beginning, is it not?
Well, that's exactly what the Proverbs tells us, that if you love slumber, you're going to end up in poverty, and the principle being that the one who works the hardest normally is the most successful. So this is the time for the Christians to go to work. We need to pray every day for the president's protection. You know, he's not out of the woods. There are millions of people who would like to see him dead. Their entire nation's devoted to seeing this man removed. And so you and I, as ambassadors for Christ, have the opportunity to go before God on his behalf and pray protection, wisdom, that his advisors will be wise, and that he'll be able to perceive when advice given should be followed and when it should not. Our work is cut out for us. We go to work now. Yes. It's not just enough to vote, but we have to also intercede on his behalf.
Right, and pray. Well, we're talking to Dr. Rick Scarborough, president of Recover America. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. Give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and I'm talking to my friend, Dr. Rick Scarborough, president of Recover America. We're talking about the inauguration today that takes place at 11 o'clock Central Time, and how that is such a historic event, and how we need to be praying as believers, praying for President Trump as he takes office. And we are going to open up the phone lines for your questions or comments, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And Rick has been kind enough to say that he is willing to give away his book, America in the Balance, for anyone who calls in. Rick, you want to tell us a little bit about that book?
I wrote the book for this particular election cycle. It had a secondary title where we chose Wokeism or the American Dream. And so it laid out the real issues of this election and gave biblical solutions and answers to all of them to help equip pastors and Christians in how to answer the issues of our day. So I'm happy to do that on your behalf. I would add to it, especially those who give a contribution to help further your radio ministry.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for that. Well, so the number to call is 888-589-8840. First one that calls in, we'll get you that book. Rick, let me ask you about the fires in California. No doubt we've been watching those, keeping an eye on those. Gavin Newsom is the most slick politician I've ever seen in my life. Every time I hear him speak, I feel like he's auditioning for the role of Antichrist. What's your take on the failed leadership in that state?
Well, I totally agree. The most beautiful state in the Union other than East Texas is California. And of course, that might be argued by Californians, but he's taken and destroyed it. And just simple things that we do in Texas. I'm right now at our little country home in East Texas, and if you drive through the state, our national and state forests here, you'll see that all the undergrowth has been burned out. We don't have these raging wildfires as a norm as they do there because we manage our forests. And politician, he loves the environment more than he does his people. And now his people are suffering and dying because of it.
Yeah, it's just horrific, and it's beyond comprehension that somebody would be that derelict in his duties, along with the mayor. I mean, the mayor is, totally bewildered. She has no answers for anything. Leadership matters, and when you hire poor leaders or elect poor leaders, you're going to suffer the consequences for it. I mean, we've been, Rick, correct me if you disagree, but America has been preserved by God these last 4 years because we had a leader that was asleep at the wheel. He didn't know what was going on. And that would have been prime time for some nation to attack us directly, but God protected us from that.
That's right. And but I'll tell you, it's created an even greater hill to climb for the new president because our coffers are depleted. We're $38 trillion in debt, and it's going to cost billions and billions to rebuild California. And restore that the city of Los Angeles to any semblance of a civilized city.
Yeah, it's a mess for sure. I think the $250 billion is a number that I heard today that they estimate the disaster is going to cost, and then to ask the federal government to bail them out. I like what Kevin O'Leary said. Hey, that money has to be tied to a change in leadership, because giving those people more money, that doesn't fix the problem.
Well, and so often when money's set aside, it's not spent for the purposes for which it was set aside. So he's exactly right on that count.
Right. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. The first caller is going to receive a copy of Rick Scarborough's book, America in the Balance, and that is Robin from Virginia. Robin, you are the big winner, and welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you. God bless you both, and I appreciate that gift. God bless you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I want a book report in two weeks,
Robin.
Okay, you got it. Well, I humbly call today because I thought it was a great suggestion that Pastor Shreve should have given the benediction. But back in 2001, there was a poem, and I wanted to read the very end of it because I kind of thought it was appropriate for today. But is that all right, Pastor Shreve?
Yeah, just the last little bit, sure.
Yeah. For our ship of state should sail and not hide. Though tragedy may fuel our glide, the love of right, of what is right, must be our ride. We owe it to the world to show that light and not spite can grow and glow with God's conscience that guides and leads our ship and others to fairer seas.
Amen. Very good. Well, thank you, Robin.
Thank you for, you're welcome. Thank you so much for the book and God blessings. I pray that start praying and commit to prayer for the president starting today.
Amen. Very good. Well, Rick, they're going to get her information, and so we'll get that to you. But I appreciate that. Well, we have Justin on the line from Alabama. Justin, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Justin, are you there?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I just, I really was calling for, I wanted that book so bad, but it's okay. I'll definitely be getting it either way.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, sir. I always enjoy, whenever you're on, I always enjoy whatever you have to say. It's usually, and as I do with most, pretty much everything on AFR, and that's kind of what, why it's my go to for real news that's not planted to some demonic perspective. But anyways, my statement was that with the hullabaloo and all this that's going on with Trump, I was just thinking that you know, we also want to be sober minded and vigilant and not get caught up in the midst of the party mindset. You know, we've got to stay concentrated on what our biblical worldview is, and you know, stay grounded in the truth, and be mindful that Satan's going to come as an angel of light, you know, and he may come in a political fashion where you think it's all. So I believe we should support Trump. I think Trump's great, but we should also be mindful that he hasn't put Christ at the his mouth just yet, you know, and I really want to see him do that.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. And Rick, you agree?
I would fully agree. As you and I discussed earlier, I got sucked into Jimmy Carter because he said he was a Southern Baptist born-again believer. But my word, his policies nearly bankrupted our country and surpassed only by our latest president. Joe Biden. So, Justin, you are exactly correct.
Yes. Rick, I don't think there's any question that, you know, if the country ended today, Joe Biden would be hands down the worst president that America's ever seen.
I completely agree. I think the proof is in the pudding. I mean, look in every category that you can name, and we're worse off than we were when he took the presidency.
Yeah. And I know that we've had over, you know, in our history, we've had some guys that have limped to the finish line. But, you know, that guy was not, he was not mentally fit for the office. And I think everybody saw that. And the Democrats tried to hide that as much as they say that they didn't. Oh, you know, they were as surprised as anybody. That wasn't true for one skinny minute.
Wow.
Mike Johnson,
that friend, goes for the mainstream media as well.
Yeah, they were all in on it. You know, Mike Johnson had a very famous little clip that he shared just the other day. I want to play this and get you to comment on it.
I do stand by it, and I say this without any personal animus at all. I mean, in some ways, I actually kind of feel sorry for Joe Biden. I mean, he's in the twilight years of his life. He is not, obviously, has not been in charge for some time. And I know this by personal observation, and now the whole world knows it. And it's been very, very concerning to me over the last, you know, year and a half since I've had this
position.
Can you
tell us a story when you say personal observation?
It's public now because the Wall Street Journal got it and put it on the front page. But January a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, I became speaker in October 2023. And there were all sorts of big national security concerns and everything going on. And I started requesting a meeting with the president because, you know, I'm kind of old school. I'm a constitutional law guy. The Speaker of the House should be able to talk to the president, especially in times of great national interest and calamity. But they wouldn't let me meet with him. And his staff kept getting me excuses. This went on for like 8 or 9 weeks. I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, he doesn't have time. What are you talking?
Well, he goes on to say, this kind of a long clip, but Rick, he goes on to say that he met with Biden And they had the usual suspects surrounding him to control what the conversation was going to be. And then Biden told those people to leave so he could talk alone with Mike Johnson. And he made it clear that he didn't even know about this order that he signed that Mike Johnson wanted to talk to him about. It's very obvious. The lights were on, but nobody was home.
Well, that's right. And we won't find out perhaps until somebody writes a book and tells us just how little leadership he provided during his term in office. I think other people have been making decisions for quite some time.
So, Rick, what do you think the reelection of Donald Trump, what does that say to the Obamas, and what is their political future, in your opinion, in the Democrat Party?
Well, if President Trump is allowed to govern without all the harassment that he's faced in years gone by, there's going to be more and more revelation of the evil they perpetrated, of the underhanded deals they made with foreign countries, with the money that changed hands. I believe we've been living under corrupt leadership now for a number of years, with the exception of the 4 years that President Trump was in office previously, of which most of it he was tied up in lawfare and couldn't govern. So I think there's going to be a whole lot of revelations come forward.
Yeah. And, okay, so pulling out your crystal ball, because we know Trump's got 4 years and that's it. He'll be 82 when he leaves office. Do you think then the table would be set for a J.D. Vance presidency?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And I think that this clear-thinking, committed conservative Christian will truly have an opportunity to usher in those golden years of which Trump is discussing.
Yes. Well, let's go to the phone lines. We have Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to say real quick, I've heard about control of water with local government. Our problem is the opposite. We have drainage issues because of too much water sometimes. But the bottom line is people need to look at their local governments, find out what they're doing, go to the meetings. I went to my first meeting. It was 5 hours long. I mean, I didn't enjoy it. They brought up the most important issue at the end. It was right before Christmas. Then they adjourned and brought it back the next time, knowing a lot of people would not come. But anyway, local governments, just like in California, there's a lot of corruption all over California, but locally people can speak up there and go to their meetings and find out what people are doing. It's going to control your life. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, that's a good point, Lynn. Well, Rick, I know you're very interested in people getting involved in the grassroots, and when you were at our church months ago.
Yeah, when I was at First Baptist Church of Pearland on the southeast side of Houston, I was made aware of the corruption in City Hall. We began taking our people to meetings. We wound up taking over the school board with Christians. We had Christians that took over the city council. Christiane Amanpour and Andrea Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, came in with HBO and CNN camera crews, tried to destroy us and call us out for being preachers involved. But as a result of that, Randy Weber today is sitting in the U.S. House of Representatives, who is formerly on the city council and a member of our church in Pearland. Churches can impact the nation if they'll do the grassroots work at the most basic level.
Amen. Amen. Well, Rick, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's always a pleasure, my friend. God bless you, and thank you for your generosity. And we'll get that book to that listener.
So happy. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And just as we said, and this is a reminder to all of us, including myself, we need to be praying for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and for all his cabinet members and for Mike Huckabee and others, Pete Hegseth, these others that are going to be hopefully confirmed and to do their jobs, Tom Holman and others. So the work begins for us, and so we need to spend time on our knees asking God for wisdom, for protection, and for a revival to hit this land. Thanks so much for listening. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.